1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic close in on a permanent Jota deal as they're linked with two new players. Rangers lose one of their top young prospects to England, and the likes of Hibs and Aberdeen find out their Premier Sports Cup group opponents. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Simon Donnelly.
Good evening, Andrew. Yes, very quiet in here tonight. Unusual not to have Big Marv beside me, but looking forward to seeing what we're chatting about.
That's it. You've got the starring role tonight. You need to take the responsibility
myself,
this time.
Me, myself and I.
0141 951 1025, if you want to get in touch, whatever's on your mind, if you want to look back at your team's season last season, if you want to look forward to transfers, anything else on your mind, 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. There's always something happening over summer, so I'm sure you've got plenty that you want to talk about. There's been a few transfer stories kicking about today, a few of the newspapers reporting different stories, players could be moving here, there and everywhere. Last night they were talking about Cameron Carter-Vickers and possibly a permanent move for him looks on the cards for Celtic today. Jota, it now looks like this move could be completed this week. Various reports today saying it could be done by the end of the week. A lot of Celtic fans on the phones last night saying they were happy that the Carter-Vickers deal looks like it could be getting over the line. You'd think Celtic fans would be delighted that the Jota deal looks as if it's close.
Yeah, I think Celtic fans will be really excited with these two guys if they can wrap them up. Maeda, I think, got signed at the start of the week there. I actually thought he'd already signed, but that gets put over the line. But these two guys have been fantastic for Celtic throughout the season. They really have. Carter-Vickers has grown into that role at the back, and Jota's numbers, goals, assists, you know, an exciting player, I think, player that Celtic fans really like to watch. So yeah, the speculation's always been there, but it'd be nice to, from a Celtic point of view, to get these two tied up very quickly.
Yeah, that Maeda deal just kind of came without any fanfare, because he obviously signed and it was a loan to buy deal, but I think it was just such a foregone conclusion that he was going to sign anyway that there wasn't really any need for a big announcement.
Yeah, as I say, but slightly raised eyebrows. I thought that deal had already been done way back in January when the other guys came in. But great, another good addition. I think these guys have all really made an immediate positive impact to Celtic throughout the season. And, you know, there's always a slight worry that you come to the end of the season and they don't tie them up. They know what they've got with these two. They've been two major players for Celtic, so fantastic bit of business if they can get it over the line.
When you look at Jota, you see a lot of wingers come on loan to Scottish football, and they've maybe got one side of things but not the other. They maybe got the pace but not the end product, or they're maybe not the finished article quite yet. Yeah. If you're the finished article, you're probably not coming on loan to Scotland at that point. But Celtic fans will be excited with what they've seen. I think it was 13 goals, 14 assists. If they're able to get him for a deal around £6 million, do you think that's a good bit of business?
Yeah, definitely. Good numbers. And he's young. He's only going to get better. He's now going to be on a platform at the top table, Champions League football. So that's going to be good for his experience. But his numbers are great. He's an exciting player. And as you said there, he suits the profile of Ange. I don't think you can get away with it. You certainly can't get away with it in the Celtic team if you're not prepared to do the kind of dirty side of it. I think that's been evident this season with all the players. But my kind of concern with wide players always is the end product, and he's definitely got it.
0141 951 1025 is the number you need. First up is Ross, who's a Celtic fan in Pollock. Ross, first of all, if Celtic can get those deals for Cameron Carter-Vickers and Jota over the line, how happy will you be?
Yeah, definitely, Andrew. I'll be over the moon. So that's the plan, to hopefully have the two tied up before the start of the season. My point tonight is just a point in regards to what Rangers did in the Europa League this year. Based on their budget and based on the budget Celtic's going to receive, do you think Celtic potentially could make a European campaign out of it instead of just going for six games for the Champions League? Can Simon see us really push on and hopefully try and do something in Europe?
To be honest, Ross, that is the acid test for Celtic this season coming. You know, it's a big jump into the Champions League. I watched a few of the games the last time they were there, and they were way off it, you know, against Paris and teams like that. So that's going to be the test. But the exciting side of that, if you kind of put the positive spin on it, it's what Ange has brought to the club already on the budget that he's had. You know, I think there'll be huge excitement there and confidence with the board to see what he can do next. I think that's the exciting thing for Celtic fans. You know, how can he improve this side? And I think there was little flashes of it in Europe last year. I mean, they went to Betis. I know these games ultimately ended up in defeats, but they could have been 3-0 up. Leverkusen late on. I know it's sometimes ifs, buts and maybes, but I've seen enough there going forward that Celtic could hurt teams in Europe. The defence was work in progress at the time, but has progressively got better as the seasons went on. I think they've got the best defence in the Scottish League. And these things take time. You know, players, the two centre-backs, it takes time to get them together. I think Joe Hart's had a big positive influence in the back four as well. But yeah, it's a huge task. It'd be nice to go, because Rangers have done fantastically well this year. And, you know, I think the Celtic fans have had their legs pulled as well about how well Rangers have did over the last two or three seasons, where Celtic haven't. So it would be great if they could reduce the gap and go and compete, as you say, Ross.
Ross, when you look at the squad Celtic have at the moment and the Champions League money on the way, how much business do you expect should be done this summer to get Celtic competing in those group stages?
Well, for me, I look at the striking options and I do like Giomarcus, and I think Kyogo's just, he speaks for himself, but I would like to see maybe another striker in, just to kind of try and push me to another level. Potentially maybe another centre-back. And I would probably look at a replacement for Tom Rogic. I do like Hatate and stuff. I think the guys that have came in have done brilliant, but I do think there is maybe one or two positions where we do really need to strengthen, because I think the Champions League is just a different level, and I think to go in there you need to have a bit of quality.
Ross mentions centre-back, which is an interesting one, because Cameron Carter-Vickers, that one looks like it's getting close. There's Carol Starfelt, who he's built up that partnership with. There's Stephen Welsh, but you've got Nir Beaton leaving the club. Celtic are probably going to need another body, maybe two bodies in there. A couple of names have been linked with today, both Manchester City players, Ko Itakura, who is Japanese. We know that that's a market that Ange Postecoglou likes, and Taylor Harwood-Bellis, who was on loan at Stoke. So it certainly looks as if that is an area that Ange Postecoglou is looking at ahead of this season.
I think he'll be looking everywhere. I think with clubs like Celtic, they have to have almost two players in every position. I think the fullback areas will be addressed as well. I think Ralston and Juranovic on the right-hand side, you know, Ralston did well when Juranovic wasn't there at certain points of the season. Taylor on the other side, I think they'll look for another left back. The centre backs have got Chris Julian there that seems to be out of favour. It looks as if he might move on. So you would probably want cover there as well. But I think this guy will be wanting to look all over the side. How can I improve every position? And again, the positive thing for Celtic fans is He already kind of seems to know. He's already getting targets, you know, 6 months before. I think I went on saying, I think Maeda and Hatate, I think they would already have been, I think Maeda he was trying to get in at the start as well with Kyogo. But the confidence that, or the effect that Kyogo had in the team, you know, I think if there was any doubts these guys could do it in this level, you know, that was just enhanced with his performance early season. And he already had those other players in mind. It'll be interesting if he delves back into that market, or he knows of other areas. But I'd think there'll still be another 3, 4, 5 players coming at Celtic over the summer.
We saw that in January, that Postecoglou was looking for more depth, wanted to bring in more players that fit his system. Is another side of this transfer window that there's a lot of players that he's going to have to shift out as well. Guys that haven't really had any game time this season. Albion Ayeti, there's Barkas, Ismail Assoro, Christopher Julian. His future looks up in the air because he hasn't really been in favour at all since he came back from injury.
Yeah, I think there'll be a wee bit of a revolving door there as well. I think for spaces to be created, you have to have people going the other way as well. These guys have come in and for whatever reason, not many of them have really made an impact at Celtic. Chris Julian a wee bit unfortunate with the injury that's ongoing, and then he finds when he comes back to fitness, the two centre-backs, you know, building a really good partnership with each other. So I don't know what his future lies or where it lies, but I think, as Ross touched on there, getting into the Champions League, it's a huge step up, and I think that will need to be reflected on the players that he brings in. But I still think the recruitment that he did last year and the youthful side of it, they guys are going to get better. You look at the Rangers team of Gerrard over the last three seasons, that result and them getting to the final the other night was all the work that they did and the experience that they were gaining through the two or three campaigns before. It was quite a lot of the boys went in that full journey. So the Celtic boys last year have got a little taste of the European side of it. Now they have to go and improve and build on that as well themselves.
Ross, with that group stage football confirmed, as a Celtic fan, just how exciting is that to be back in Europe's top competition, having some of the top teams in Europe coming to Celtic Park?
Honestly, I genuinely can't wait. The end of that season just passed there was tremendous, but I think the buzz around Celtic Park is definitely back. The fact that we're going to have these big European nights back in Glasgow's East End is generally music to every Celtic fan's ears, and we generally can't wait for these big nights to come around.
That's it. We've seen Scottish teams, Celtic and Rangers, have these big Europa League nights over the past few seasons, but the Champions League, it's just different.
It's the top tier. That's where you want to be. That's where Celtic and Rangers both want to be. And it could work out that both may well be there. You know, Rangers unfortunate the other night not to win and get straight in. They've got two, I believe, qualifiers.
Yep.
But again, with I think their team's going to change quite dramatically as well over the summer. So it'll be interesting to see what Gio's got lined up. But I think they should be strong enough to get in as well, which is great for Scottish football if you've got two teams in that top competition. But there's absolutely no doubt, you only have to look at the teams that are in it. There is a gulf, and now the task for teams like Celtic, like Rangers, is to try and get closer and make a good fist of it. You know, go into these competitions, try and get into the knockout stage. As I say, just get closer. That's the exciting thing for me. How does Ange go and improve the team for this season coming?
Well, thank you to Ross. 0141 951 1025 is the number you need. There was a tweet I saw earlier on today that just caught my attention, and this is what happens in transfer windows, that fans just managed to latch on to absolutely everything. I remember when Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was rumoured to be the next Rangers manager, and people were on flight tracker trying to find his flight going from the Netherlands over to Scotland. There was one today that a Celtic fan had posted up. It was tiles that were being delivered somewhere in Glasgow, and the delivery address on it had the actual address scored out, but it said that the tiles were being delivered to a Mr. C. Carter Vickers. Now, I can't imagine there's many in Scotland, but I think there's a few Celtic fans that are getting a bit excited that possibly means that he's here to stay.
Well, I hope so. From a Celtic point of view, I think he's had a great season. He's only going to get better. He's got himself into the international squad again. He's a strong centre-back, assured that at the back there brings a real calmness. And, yeah, he's been rock solid for Celtic, so it's an obvious choice moving forward to get him signed up. And then I think Starfelt's continuously improved, that partnership's improved throughout the season. Yeah, there might be somebody there just to make that position stronger as a backup.
0141 951 1025 is the number Davey from Paisley has dialed. Davey, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi guys, hi Simon.
Hi Davey.
How you doing? It's just, first of all, I'd like to congratulate Big Ange on the job he's done last season. For me, it was near impossible, I thought, to get the league back off the Rangers. However, great performance, great team performance, and great for the manager. Going forward for next season, I'm trying to think of players out with Big Ange would actually looking at with the strength and depth, the strength that Rangers have in the midfield. Celtic seem a bit lightweight. However, I still think they've got better players. One name that always springs to mind in the last couple of seasons is the boy Lewis Ferguson at Aberdeen. Simon, do you think it'd be worth taking a punt? Because I think he's a good box-to-box midfielder and he scores goals, and I think he's got a good engine as well.
Yeah, I do actually. He's one of I think he's one of the better players in our own league that, you know, the likes of a Celtic or a Rangers would look at. I think he's 21, 22. He's got himself into the Scotland setup. He scored a lot of goals this season. His best years are ahead of him. I think that would be a decent move. On the back of Rogic and Beaton leaving, obviously I'm not comparing them to the likes of Rogic or anything like that, but there is going to be, although I think it's a strong part of Celtic's team, there's still going to be room for improvement there, and I don't think he'd be the worst move to go for. I think he's got a real good future ahead of him, and at 22, the right age probably.
Davey, you look at David Turnbull, who's come in from another Scottish club, Greg Taylor as well, who played a lot of football for Celtic last season. Does that give you confidence that if Celtic were to sign someone like Lewis Ferguson, that he'd be able to come in and hit the ground running?
I think so, yeah. I think he's a decent player. I think he's a bit stronger. The boy Turnbull's good on the ball as well, but I think Lewis Ferguson gives you a wee bit more steel in the middle of the park, especially the likes of Rangers have got Ryan Jack and Lundstrom. But that would lead me on my next point, if it's okay. For the season that the Scottish boys have had, I'm looking forward to next Wednesday in the playoff. I think everybody went high. The Rangers boys went high, the Celtic boys went high, Ryan Christie went high, the various others have a really good season, Scottish football as well. I think we'll do really well next Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a game we're all really looking forward to. We'll ramp up the build-up for that in the next few days as well. But, you know, Davey says it, the Scottish-based players, the Celtic ones, they'll be on a high. You've got Ryan Jack, who's just coming off the back of a Scottish Cup final win. Players down south performing well too. Just the feeling around the Scotland national team at the moment is something we haven't really experienced over the past 20 years.
Yeah, it's a good point that Davey makes there, actually, that a lot of the players have had really good seasons domestically. Andy Robertson's got a Champions League final on Saturday night. I think we've got a great chance. I really do. I think our squad is as strong as it has ever been, as far as I can remember. A lot of quality through it. The one miss we've got is Tierney, but fortunately for us, I think that side or that area, you know, we've obviously got Andy Robertson, Hickey, but I've got real optimism for us to go and get the two wins that will take us to the World Cup. I think these guys, I think when they look back at the Euros and all the excitement that came with it, I think they themselves will say they underachieved at the actual finals. I think they've got unfinished business. They've all got, there's a good average age through that squad, and I think they'll be desperate to get to the World Cup. It's a massive game next Wednesday. Hopefully we get the right result and get through to play Wales, but we've certainly got the quality there, and as Davey makes a real good point there, they should all be getting into it with their confidence high.
I mean, the Euros captured the imagination of everyone in Scotland, really, Davey. Been able to replicate that, but probably a step higher at the World Cup, that would be quite something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. I remember France way back, and even when we played Germany and Uruguay, I remember as far back as that. It'd be absolutely fantastic for the whole nation. I think everybody in the last couple of years has got right behind Stevie Clark. I think it's absolutely fantastic for the whole country.
Well, thank you to Davey. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call and you could be up next.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025. If you want to get in touch, there's loads to talk about, transfers, all sorts, so make sure to give us a call. Just having a look, obviously the domestic football is finished in Scotland, but there is a big game on tonight, the Europa Conference League final.
Andrew, I just wrote that down because the football, it's been coming thick and fast, but obviously we're running out before the Scotland game next week. But that's a big one tonight, yeah, Roma Feyenoord.
Do you know the former Scottish Premiership player that could be starting in that game?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Ofer Marciano, former Hibs goalkeeper now at Feyenoord.
Never have got it.
Could be starting in goal in a European final tonight. That's quite something.
Yeah.
That's quite something. As I say, 0141 951 1025. Let's have a look at Rangers and their transfer business, shall we? Because there's been more talk about outs than ins in Rangers at the moment in the early stages of this transfer window, but it's Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's first proper summer transfer window to get the job done at Rangers. It'll be interesting to see how he negotiates it, because there's talk of players leaving, whether it's potentially Alan McGregor, Stephen Davis, Connor Goldson, guys that are entering the final year of their contract as well. He's got a lot to juggle, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think it might be the end of an era, kind of, you know, that team that we spoke about earlier that culminated in them getting to the Europa League final. I think there will be a few going out the door. I think Gio's now 6 months in the job. He'll have an idea of what he wants to bring in. I think from Rangers fans' perspective, that should excite them, because I think when he came in at November, you're still finding your feet. You know, it was quite a quick transition after Gerrard left. and he would have had to try and get to know his players, build up relationships with them, and all of a sudden he had a transfer window. The total opposite to Ange, who been there 6 months, had identified 3 or 4, I think, which was a big advantage for Celtic, you know, at the turn of the year. I think that freshness came in. But Gio's now got this summer window, which is usually the best window out of the two. So it'll be interesting to see. I was just talking to somebody the other day, 5 or 6 in the Celtic team now are like get hero status with the fans. You would never have heard of any of them this time last year, so are Rangers going to go and try and do the same this year?
Someone that's already kind of got hero status at Rangers over the last couple of months, Calvin Bassey, talks down south today. I think it was the Times reporting that Aston Villa are ramping up their interest in him. Obviously, you know, big performances in the Europa League final, in the Scottish Cup final as well. Rangers fans will be desperate for the club to hold on to him, but if they can't, for Rangers to get as much money as possible for him.
Yeah, I think that would be the objective. I think for Rangers point, I think they would like to keep him for another year. He's only 21, 22. He's had a great, especially the second half of the season. He's just got stronger and stronger. His performances have got better. And, you know, despite the size of Celtic and Rangers, when you're playing in the Scottish Premiership and you do perform well, there's always going to be interest from, you know, teams with more money. And it's no surprise that Stevie Gerrard at Villa, if that's the case, that would be an obvious one. But I think maybe for the kids' development as well, I think settled in a Rangers team, maybe another full season before they decide where he goes next.
01419511025. Stephen is a Rangers fan in Coatbridge. Stephen, what's on your mind?
Evening, guys. Hope you're well.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
It's 2 points I've got tonight. The first one is kind of about Conor Goldson. I heard some armchair bandit last night going on about Conor Goldson. It cost us a Europa Cup final. We can't do this. It cost us a goal down. This guy's been a stalwart in our defence, a rock solid defender for the past 2 seasons. Don't get me wrong, he had a slow start. His first two seasons were up and down. He was kind of all over the place, finding his feet. But I think he's been an absolute rock for the past 2 seasons. And listening to kind of reports of Notts Forest wanting him, I'm just want to know, guys, if you think Conor Goldson is hanging off till the weekend to find out if they get promoted or not before he makes any kind of rash decisions in what he wants to do.
Yeah, listen, I've not heard the speculation. I agree with you, Stephen. I think Goldson's been one of your most consistent performers over the last few seasons. But he's maybe came to a crossroads now, for whatever reason, it's at this stage of his career. If Forrest are one, yeah, you probably would be waiting to see where they're going to be playing their football next year. You know, because I think if he's moving from Rangers, I think he would want to go to the English Premiership. I think that's an obvious one. So maybe he is, but as I say, I've not heard any speculation whatsoever. But, you know, if that's on the cards, as a player, you certainly be waiting to see what league they're playing in.
Stephen, do you hold out much hope that Rangers will be able to persuade him to stay?
I think I'm not holding out much hope. I would love the guy to stay. I was a big critic of him when he came to Rangers. I was really on his back, but I just think over the past 2 seasons he's been absolutely outstanding. If he's cost us 1 or 2 goals, look what he's done for the other 2 seasons. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying it. Every player's not perfect, we know that, but the guy's been absolutely rock solid. He's been defensive minds. He reads a game very, very well now. He can play the ball out. Some of his passing range is like world class passing right across field. So, you know, I'd love the guy to stay. So, time will tell. That's all we can hope he stays. But it's just my second point was about the young.
Sorry, Stephen, I'll let you come back in. We'll just take that point on Goldson there. If he does leave, it'll be big boots to Phil Simon. John Souter, we know, is joining Rangers. Can he be the player to fill those boots?
Listen, I think they'll look for maybe another centre back as well, but I know John really well from my time at Dundee United. I thought he was outstanding at the weekend for Hearts, and I think he's got the temperament to go and handle the Rangers jersey. I really do. I think he's improved over the years his defensive side of it, because he was always great with the ball coming out and very comfortable with it. And a lot of the time in the domestic league, Rangers will have the ball, but his defensive side of it as well has got better over the years, and I thought he was brilliant at the weekend. And I think, you know, I've said it before, I think he'll be a big player for Rangers. I think he's ready, he's at the right stage of his career, he's in that Scotland set-up. I think the only question mark is his fitness, because he's been really unfortunate with a couple of injuries. But if he gets himself back and playing regular, I think he'll be a top player for Rangers.
Because that's maybe the difference there. Connor Goldson just had that consistency of availability. Yeah. Pretty much every single game Rangers played, Connor Goldson was on the team sheet alongside James Tavernier. If they're going to want the same from Johnson.
I think that's the only thing that's missing from John's CV, if you like, just now. Because, and again, it's not through any fault of people get injured. You know, I think he had two Achilles injuries. I think it was the same injury after the other, which really unfortunate. But he's fought back. He's got his cell back in the Scotland set up. As I say, he was outstanding for Hearts at the weekend. And for me, temperament, he's got the right mentality to go to Rangers and it won't faze him.
Stephen, what was your other point you had?
The other point was just about the young chap. His name's really out of my head. He's wanting to leave Rangers and to the next step of his career, the young 16-year-old.
Rory Wilson, that is.
Rory, that's the one, Wilson. He's wanting to kind of step on in his career. If he has to have a good look, the only step on in his career is going to Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Spurs, those kind of teams in the Premiership. And to be honest with you, I can't see those guys sending a 16-year-old for Rangers. No, not saying the guy's terrible or he's not their kind of player, but I just can't see him going to that kind of team. I think Rangers, without giving him a contract, Rangers were really wanting to stay. There's no much a step on for Rangers. Look at what Rangers done in the past two seasons. Really, realistically, are you going to get any better in the Premiership than Rangers? Personally, I don't think so. I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
Yeah, well, there's heavy speculation that he could be moving to Aston Villa as well, and you don't know whether that's potentially the Steven Gerrard link, knowing you know, the youth coaches at Rangers, but highly rated at Rangers. I think scored 49 goals at youth level last season as the starting striker for Scotland's under-17s as a 16-year-old. A big prospect for Rangers, but this is what happens in Scottish football sometimes, isn't it? That if a club from down south comes in and they can offer more money, it's really hard for someone that age to turn down.
It is, you know, and he's just a kid, 16-year-old. It's no age at all. Starting out, I haven't seen a lot of him. I believe he's a big prospect. I like the other lad, Lowry, that's come into the Rangers setup this season as well. But yeah, as I say, you're competing with the finance of the English Premiership more often than not. And, you know, Rangers and Celtic now are getting a bit more finance with the qualification for the Champions League, with the success in the Europa League. But it's minute compared to the spending power that the English Premiership have. I think it's just one of the ones with that kid. You're just hoping that he goes. If he moves for Rangers, he's going to the right club. He's getting looked after the right way because he's at the start of his career. It's crucial.
Well, thank you to Stephen. Next up is Tony, a Rangers fan in Motherwell. Tony, what are you thinking tonight?
How are you doing, guys? All right?
Hi, Tony. All good?
Yeah, I've just got a couple of points tonight. Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
So the first one is just kind of on the transfer business. The Rangers, I'm seeing, obviously, the Aston Villa closing a deal for Bassey and stuff. So I think we're going to lose a few of your first team players. So do you think Rangers need to spend big to retain the league?
I think they'll need to. If they lose players of the quality of Bassey, the experience of Goldson at the back, if they lose a few, they're obviously going to have to replace them. I think Gio will have his own targets. He'll have his own way he wants to shape Rangers up moving forward. I think for guys like yourself, Tony, I think that should be exciting, because, you know, it is coming to the end of an era. McGregor looks as if he's finishing up. These players have taken Rangers to a Europa League final over 3-4 seasons. They won the league last year. So it's probably at a wee stage where Rangers do need to freshen up. But again, it's the start of Gio's tenure and he's got a bit of money there to go and do it.
Some people look at that as a downside, potentially, that he'll have a lot of work to do. But will some managers like that, where, well,
look,
I mean, it's
look
not enough.
Look across the city. You know, look across the city. Ange came in and has transformed it. As I said earlier on, Celtic have now got 6 or 7 heroes in their team that they didn't know last year, hadn't heard of. Your Kyogos, your Jotas, Carter Vickers. The experience of Joe Hart, everybody knew about Joe, but a lot of the boys that came at Abada, these guys came in and now they're, you know, they're the new fans' favourites. So I think that's what Rangers fans have got to look forward to. And it always comes to an end. Always, you know, teams always find their kind of shelf life. I think a few of these players have done remarkably well. But yeah, I think it's fresh, and I think it's came at the right time for Gio. He can go in and really stamp his own philosophy on the team.
What else is on your mind tonight, Tony?
It was just about, I seen the England team. It was just to see what your thoughts was on James Tavernier. I mean, I think the guy deserves a call up. I mean, when you look at some of the players that's called up, your Aaron Wan-Bissakas, Connor Cody, Mark Gwee, Tyrone Mings. I mean, these are all mid-table Premier League players. I know obviously money talks and big names and stuff, but the guy got us to a Europa League final. I mean, his stats, his goals and his assists. See what you guys can think of that.
Yeah, well, I think a couple of the players Tony mentioned aren't right backs traditionally, but you could almost name a starting 11 out of the right backs that Gareth Southgate has picked for this latest squad. It seems to be an area that the England national team is just so rich in talent. There's so many young players coming through as well that James Tavernier would be competing against for a place in this squad.
Yeah, you've got Kyle Walker there as well, who tends to be the number one right back there. But yeah, it's, listen, we've had that over the years, I think, at Celtic and Rangers, where certain players have did well. And for whatever reason, I think sometimes, if I'm being honest, I think the English league kind of look down their noses at the Scottish league. I know Tony will say that Tavernier's had a great season in Europe, and you know, I would fight that cause as well. But I think sometimes, I mean, the one that's jumping out at me just now was Alan Thompson with Celtic years ago. You know, fantastic, but was never really quoted at the time. I think sometimes...
Did he get one cap? Is that right? I think he possibly got one cap.
I can't remember, but I just remember, I think through the seasons, there is, at different times, people, because of the way they're performing, and obviously, I don't, for whatever reason, we get overlooked. I think it is just a case of what league they're playing in.
And you look at the options we were talking about, there's Trent Alexander-Arnold at Liverpool, there's Reece James at Chelsea, Kyle Walker, as you say, at Manchester City. These are guys who start for, you know, some of the top three clubs
top
in
three
England.
Top four clubs, and they're playing in the Champions League all the time. So it's a tough one. It's a tough one. But I know what Tony's saying, because you look at Tavernier's stats, it's ridiculous.
Do you want to come back in, Tony?
Yeah, no, just to obviously echo what you guys are saying. So do you think it would need to be him moving to like an English club? I mean, I know he's not going to get in front of Trent or Kyle Walker or stuff, but maybe even the friendlies, just to get the experience. As Simon says there, they kind of look down on this league. But when you look at Celtic in the previous years in the Champions League, you look at what Rangers have done, Europa League, UEFA Cup. I mean, do you think it'll ever get to a chance where we'll actually get a respect we deserve?
I think we need to do it on a consistent basis. I think that's the challenge for Celtic Rangers now. I think they need to go... They've got a wee bit of finance this season. You know, they've done really well. The coefficient's strong, but I think they need to go and do it consistently over a period, you know, and that maybe gets other leagues sitting up and taking notice, to be honest. But it's difficult. It's difficult for our clubs to work on that budget. You know, you talk about your Paris Saint-Germain's and Bayern Munich's and teams that have been at Celtic Park in recent times. But the other side of that, if you want to put the positive flip on it, is you guys beating the likes of Leipzig, Dortmund, the money that's been invested in the Leipzig time, West Ham couldn't get to the final. So, you know, you have to look at the positives, but it's very difficult.
Well, thank you to Tony. Let me tell you something now about very important.
Cash for Kids Day.
Well, Cash for Kids Day is this Friday. It's our biggest opportunity to join together to help families living around who have hit crisis point. For them, the cost of living crisis is their daily reality. Prices are rising, household incomes are falling, all leading to impossible daily choices on what to pay for to keep children fed and healthy. In this clip, Claire from Western Bartonshire Foodshare explains just how difficult it is for some families in our area right now.
What we've been seeing is families increasingly being worried, stressed, anxious about their financial situation. We're speaking with families who are, you know, just not managing at all. Previously, we all kind of spoke about people having to choose between heating and eating. It's kind of went beyond that now, because we're having families telling us that they don't have money to top up gas and electric meters, but they also don't have money to buy food. So there's not even that choice there.
What families are going through is heartbreaking, but this Cash for Kids Day, we can all do our bit to help. The easiest way is just by making a donation. Whatever you can afford would be amazing, and we guarantee that 100% of your donation will go where it's needed the most. Every £35 we raise will help make those tough daily choices a little bit easier for one child's family. So please donate if you can by going to Clyde1.com.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly here with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 141-951-1025 on the phones, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. A few newsy bits today to get through. First of all, I was going to say it crept up on us, the Premier Sports Cup draw, but I have no idea why it took place on the 25th of May, a couple of days after the domestic season finished, but it's happened today anyway.
Yeah, it's mad.
I mean, it'll be interesting certainly for some of the newer managers as well, just finding out what their first competitive fixtures are. Lee Johnson at Hibs, James McPake now at Dunfermline, they'll be keeping a keen eye on who they've been drawn against.
Yeah, but again, their games are going to come around very quickly as well, so you know they'll have their pre-season sorted out. But yeah, it's just hard to get your head around the fact that the draw is, as you say, a couple of days after we've just finished.
Yeah, I suppose it kind of helps pre-season planning as well, because I think a lot of managers kind of use it as a sort of pre-season.
They do, but see, teams like Aberdeen and Hibs, they'll not be allowed, you know, they'll be expected to win. I know what you're saying.
Especially after the seasons they've had,
yes,
as well.
Yes, definitely. The pressure will be on. So the fans won't be treating their games like pre-season, but I know what you're saying.
A couple of signings to go through as well. St Johnstone losing Sean Rooney. It's quite incredible that he's only been there for two seasons, because he's got himself legend status, scoring in two separate cup finals, scored again on Monday night. But yeah. Scott Brown at Fleetwood Town, now the manager there, has decided that Sean Rooney's the man for him, his first signing.
Yeah, good move. We had Sean when I was down at York with Jackie. So he's had a wee bit of moving about, but he's had a fantastic spell at St Johnstone, really has. I mean, pops up with the goals in the two cups, and then he follows Callum Hendry by, if you can dink the keeper, so can I, the other night. So it's a good move for him, and I wish him well.
Yeah, I have a feeling he won't be Scott Brown's last Scottish-based signing as well. I'm sure he'll be dipping into this market.
It's a market he knows, isn't it? It's a market he knows really well, but he'll have a good network there as well, so it'll be interesting to see. Difficult job down there, but you know, it's his first one. It's a good opportunity for him. And yeah, Sean's one of his first signings.
Yeah, St Mirren signing Trevor Carson from Dundee United today as well. I mean, Stephen Robinson must just love this guy, because he had him at Motherwell. He took him to Morecambe when he was there at the start of last season. He's worked with him in the Northern Ireland set up, so he's a guy that he knows extremely well. They're losing Jack Anick as well, who's gone to Cardiff City, so he'll think that Trevor Carson's a very reliable player between the sticks for them.
Yeah, somebody he'll know well. And I think that's always a good thing for managers, you know, good types in the dressing room. He's worked with them before, knows what to expect. So yeah, it's an obvious one there as well.
0141 951 1025 on the phone. Sam is a Celtic fan in Clackmanshire. Sam, a first time caller, what's made you phone in?
Hi there, guys, you alright?
Hi Sam, all good, yourself?
Yeah, all good. Now, the reason I phoned in was just because I heard you talking about just like the transfer market in terms of Carter Vickers and Jota getting across the line to join Celtic. But one thing I was actually thinking is, what's your opinions on potentially during the friendlies getting Furuhashi and Giakoumakis working together up front?
It's an interesting point, Simon, because Ange Postecoglou has a clear system that he plays, and I think if you're going to play with the two of them, it would need to be Kyogo that is pushed out wide. I don't think he's been seen as effective as he is through the middle when he's played out there. And if they're going to play with two strikers, Ange Postecoglou said himself he loves wingers so much. Yeah. It's basically his favourite position on the pitch. So it would be hard for him to kind of juggle that about to get both of them in, would it?
Yeah, but I can see where Sam's coming from. Obviously, Kyogo's started the season really well, got himself injured, and then Giakoumakis came into a rich vein of form around about the turn of the year. It would be great to think you could put the two of them in there and the goals would happen. But obviously, it doesn't happen as easy as that. I think Miki Yogo would be willing enough to play anywhere for Celtic. I think that's just the way he is with Ange. But I look at his movement and playing off the back line and getting in. The goal, I think it was Ralston chipped into him. You know, he instigates it with the run against Motherwell on the last day of the season. I think it's a good one for Ange to have, you know, the two guys there. And I think they might look for another one as well, because they've got a long campaign ahead of them next year. but I just don't see him changing. He would need to change his shape to try and get the two in, I feel. And we've seen this season he doesn't do that. You know, he plays, as you say, with the two wingers and the one prominent guy through the middle. So, yeah, I can see where Sam's coming from, the excite, you know, the goals, and I don't know if it would just happen as easy as that.
I suppose the good thing, Sam, is that the options are there. Ange Postecoglou has two guys that have proven they can score goals whenever they're on the pitch.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the reason why I say that is just because, I mean, you've got Maeda, who a lot of time plays on the wing, and then you've got Furuhashi, who's obviously an elite striker. But I think the two of them together would be quite a good change, because I think you've got Furuhashi, who's really good at getting on at the end of the runs from long balls. He's got a lot of pace behind him. And then you've got Giakoumakis, who'd be like kind of the strength at the top that Celtic's been looking for a long time, eh?
He's got the physicality that Kyogo doesn't have, definitely. And I've really kind of warmed to him over the season, because I've said he's like an old number nine. He just seems to be no airs or graces outside the box. You know, you don't really look for much link-up play with him, but 9 times out of 10 he's in the right place in the box. You know, some scrappy goals, but they're still goals, if you know what I mean. And I'm old school. I like the two strikers up front, but I just don't see Ange changing his shape.
Will that be a tough decision for Ange Postecoglou, who is his main number nine, or is the fact that Celtic play so many games in a season is just a luxury to be able to chop and change?
Yeah, I think it's a good one for him to chop and change. And it fell into, at the right time, I think it was Boxing Day with Kyogo up at McDermott Park, and Giakoumakis had got off to a difficult start. You know, I don't think his fitness was up to speed. I remember the penalty miss against, I think it was Livingston, which, you know, would have maybe played on his mind a bit. My goodness, he turned it right round for the turn of the year. You know, 14, 15 goals, I think. Two hat-tricks in there. So it's a good one for Ange to have, and that's his job as a manager, to keep these guys all happy.
Sam, is there any business in particular that you're hoping to see Celtic do this window?
Well, to be honest, I can see obviously Jota and Carter Vickers are both getting put over the line to join Celtic, and I'm very happy about that. If it was the case of having to pick between the two, I would probably pick Carter Vickers, if I'm being honest, because Celtic's kind of had that. They've not really had a solid defence in years, and now that we've kind of got that, I'd like to keep that. Ideally, any more transfers, I'd probably say would maybe best looking for another striker. Again, just to kind of change the team around a bit. But again, this season is going to be massive for Celtic, I'd say, because a lot of the Japanese players had pretty much played two seasons on the trot, pretty much coming to Japan and coming over to Scotland, and now it's kind of on a clean slate for Celtic altogether. So everyone's coming onto this season clean slate, and it'll be interesting to see where they get on.
Yeah, Sam's talking about if you could pick one of Jota or Carter Vickers, but it looks as if Celtic won't have to pick one of them.
Yeah, I think they're going to get both. And, you know, from a Celtic perspective, I would be delighted with that. I think the two of them have been big players for Celtic this season.
Well, thank you to Sam. Make sure to call in again sometime soon. And thank you to everyone for listening, for your calls, and for all your tweets. We are not going anywhere during the summer. I'll be back tomorrow night with Mark Wilson. And stick around tonight, because Callum Gallagher is up next.